Hi, I'm Pastor Joel, and if you're just joining us, we've been considering this week, what is wisdom and what is not? I think John Bunyan helps us to see this in a scene in Pilgrim's Progress. Christian is walking along, and he meets a fellow in his path who introduces himself as Mr. Worldly Wise Man. And Worldly Wise Man sees Christian struggling, and he inquires. And Christian tells him that he is weary from carrying this burden, a burden that he is taking to the cross. And Worldly Wise Man asks, "Will you listen to me if I give you some good advice?" And Christian agrees. And Worldly tells him to get rid of his burden as quickly as possible so that he can enjoy all the blessings God has for him in this earth. And then he asks how Christian first came about this burden. Christian holds up his Bible, to which Worldly Wise Man responds, "I thought so. It has happened to you in the same way that other weak men, in meddling with things that are too high for them." I believe that captures well the sentiment of our day by many who claim to be wise. Do you know that Harvard's motto when it was first founded was Veritas Christo in Ecclesiae, which means truth for Christ and the church? Now Harvard's motto is simply Veritas, truth. Truth no longer linked to God and His Word, what God says. You see, truth is now being determined and judged by men of earth. And that is folly, as James tells us in chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, where he writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." James wants us to see that there is a heavenly wisdom and something else trying to pass itself off as wisdom. Did you notice the progression of that so-called wisdom? First it is earthly, then it is unspiritual, and when it fully manifests itself, it is demonic. Worldly wisdom has Satan as its source. We saw yesterday that we receive pure wisdom from the Scriptures, the sacred writings able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. God's word alone can dismantle the wisdom of Mr. Worldly Wise Man, a man who cannot see he was made for eternity. He pretends this brief little time on earth is all he has and all that matters. Instead of rightly fearing his Creator, he places himself on the throne and boasts like he is God. But he is no God. He is a creature of dust, and to dust he will return. And he will one day face his Creator, having to answer for his disordered life and all his evil practices. But James says, if we go to God and ask for wisdom, God is generous. God loves to give it. Go back to chapter 1, verse 5. And that act of showing we need God's help is actually the humility of wisdom. And when that becomes our regular practice, first looking to God's word, looking at the path before us, and then asking God for help, our lives will come to reflect his wisdom in our world. So what does that look like? Well, James says it is first pure. Think of a clear glass of water, untainted by the world. It is then peace-loving. I think a lot of folks today would endorse this, right? We see it on the bumper stickers. But being a lover of peace is like a hippie is not what James is getting at here. No, actually the last thing he says that is a person of wisdom sows peace. Jesus does not say, "Blessed are the peace lovers." Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, those who promote peace." And wisdom is also seen in being considerate, or it could be translated gentle. This means a willingness to yield to others. And listen, yielding even when you're wronged, because you're first willing to give the benefit of the doubt. It is to be, as one commentator puts it, utterly mastered by merciful purposes. And wisdom is evident when one is submissive or compliant. Now, James does not mean be a doormat. No, James means when you start a conversation, You don't already have your mind made up. You're willing to be persuaded by what is good and best. And it is full of mercy and good fruits. Think of a judge pardoning a man who deserves to go to jail. James says the wisdom from above is loaded with mercy. It's evident in kindness to others. We are prone to draw a circle around folks like us and only be kind to them. James is saying this is not godly wisdom. And wisdom is lastly impartial and sincere. To be impartial means to be unwavering, not tossed to and fro by doubts or by folks' opinions. And the Greek word for sincere here is anupakritos. Does that kind of sound like unhypocritical? Sincere comes from two Latin words meaning without wax. It was a word picture used to describe a stone sculpture that had been chipped or broken. And then the artist took some wax to put it back together. You know, you put a little paint over the top and nobody knows the difference. But if you're without wax, it means you are the real deal. What a glorious list of wisdom characteristics. I read these and I want them to be more and more evident in my life. Don't you? Well, friend, all we have to do is keep our Bibles in our hand as we walk our path. As we see the things set before us, we ask for wisdom from God so that we know how to deal with them rightly. And what will happen as we do? We will be scattering seeds that will result in a great harvest one day. And won't that be such a blessing to our communities when we do? My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.